United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explores podcast. I'm your host, Don Redman, and with me today is Michael McMullen, a MDiv student at United Lutheran Seminary and the director of the nonprofit Robe Gifting International. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers, Michael.
Thank you, Don. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. So can you give us kind of a quick overview of exactly what Robe Gifting International is?
Yes, well, it's an organization designed to take donated or unused robes, clergy or choir robes, refurbish them, and redistribute them to needy clergy and choir throughout the United States and abroad.
All right. And where did this idea come from?
Well, it populated out of my experience in the robe and liturgical garment industry, which I've spent about 20 years as a retail provider to clergy around the United States in various denominations. And throughout my tenure, I came upon the downturn of the economy. And for a long time, churches had been accustomed to purchasing new robes yearly for not only their clergy, but for various choirs throughout their communities and churches. And that became problematic when the economy turned and churches and individuals were more concerned with paying electric bills and basic utilities and not necessarily expending them on robes and liturgical wear. So we kind of felt that it would be useful to kind of look at the supply that people had. Many years, people have always said, can I trade in some of the garments that I have, or the used robes that either don't fit me, or I bought this canary yellow. I don't know what I was thinking about at the time, but it's just not appropriate now. So it has always been kind of a given that churches would have a ready supply in closets, attics, basements of used choir robes that either choirs have outgrown or choirs will readily buy new robes for a new season or a new pastor that comes in. So it gave us an opportunity to gather up these robes and to let them be used for donations to help others, to assist in the ministries.
Well, great. And how did you get this started initially? You have this idea, but now you have to turn it into something that's actionable. How did you do that?
Well, fortunately for me, I had already developed a network of clergy and churches throughout the United States that I've serviced in a retail manner. And I just made contact with them and developed some literature, some basic literature, saying we would be glad to take any donated robes that they had or robes that were unused, whether clerical or choir or liturgical dancing uniforms, and bring them in and find homes for them, find other people who may not be able to afford to purchase new robes. And it became something that just started to grow in a small circle. And, people in the Christian community do talk. They do share with one another. And before you knew it, we were getting box loads and truck loads of donated robes, and not only robes, but we've gotten Bibles and books, and I even had one person call me with some pews that they didn't know how to transition. And I think that's where a lot of it kind of centers, is that we became more of a transitional point for spiritual and liturgical items, of which there is none. In my research, we are the only collective organization that really does this type of work in the United States. There I found some small groups that would sometimes do a donation for robes abroad or sending them to Africa or other countries. But I felt, as well as they needed robes, that there was a need right here in the domestic United States, right, that there were many people who found themselves unable to afford to go out and purchase, which has increased in price.
Sure.
over the years, you used to be able to go and get a Murphy robe for $100, $150, and that increased rapidly throughout the years. And before you knew it, it would cost you $500-$600 just to get a basic robe. I've had people who have spent $1,000, depending on what, you know, how they wanted the fabric that they want or how they wanted ornated. So it could become a very expensive process. Sure.
So you get a donation of robes, mm-hmm. and so what happens from the moment that this box or this truck or whatever of robes shows up at your door? What process do those robes go through to get them prepared to then be used by another church or another organization?
Well, great. I have a facility in the Harrisburg area in which the robes are received or donations are received. We then sort them out and tag them as to what they are, the color, the basic sizing of those robes. And we inspect them for any deficiencies or any rips or tears or mending that might need be done. They are then processed either to have them fixed or repaired, and then we have them cleaned through a local dry cleaner that has given us some discounted services to clean the robes. We then stock them in our supply area and take photographs of them, and we try to make available online via our website pictures of the various robes, because although people will inquiry sometimes about needing a robe, sometimes the color makes a difference. Sometimes some of the emblems or some of the things about the robe may be more particular to their denomination or independent group. So it's helpful if either they can see them online or as they inquiry, we get emails through our website of people who are interested that are seeking either by group or individuals that they'd want certain types of robes, whether it be a pulpit, a cassock, a Wesley type of robe, the color, and their measurements have to be taken into consideration. So we try to gather as much information and give them as much to look at to narrow down. You know, we can't get it perfect all the time, and maybe sometimes they have to be shortened or lengthened or, you know, this or that, but it gives them what they need, and that's a robe that they you know, are truly after. So that I've not had anyone that's not been happy with what has been provided to them. I mean, it's been ecstatic. And I must say that it's not just churches and clergy that we assist. We've helped schools who have choirs that want robes. I had in Chicago a nursing home that had an in-house residency, and they wanted to look like a choir. We just had the Christian Women's Job Corps out of Tyler, Texas, who needed 52 robes for graduation. Mm-hmm. And it's a very warming feeling to know that you've been able to transition robes that no one ever used or much used, and bring joy to people who really appreciate the donation.
Do you have any sort of vetting process to determine whether somebody is qualified to receive a donation, or is it just based on if they're coming to you, you're just going to serve them?
You know, initially that was a question raised that, well, you might get people who just, you know, ask for them just because you're giving them out free. And we weren't really sure how to address that head on other than saying, well, let's see how it kind of evolves and what we may have to adjust or do to make sure that they go to deserving and, you know, qualified individuals. But I have to say, as of yet, I've not had anybody either inquiry that I believe didn't really truly have a need and a desire for a robe donation and yet could not afford to either purchase or buy one on their own.
Okay.
So it's kind of I guess an area that people don't ask for it because of what it is, the type of garments that are provided that they don't really have a use for unless they're really in the church or choir areas that would demand they, you know, be uniformed.
Sure. Now, some of our more cynical listeners may say that, well, a building is not a church and a robe is not a choir. Right. But can you tell us why these robes are so important to these people?
Well, we believe that we want to continue to keep a holy outward appearance for people who are participating in church and events and activities which are a spiritual nature. I often have told groups in talking to them that if I asked you to close your eyes and to picture a minister, what would that person look like? And most of the people would say, well, they would have a robe on. That would usually be their first response. They'd be in a robe, and then other sort of things would dictate what that clergy or that choir would actually look like. So even though we've evolved into newer generations that sometimes go without robes, or even preachers who will preach without robes or wear suits, there's still that mental picture of a holy, dedicated clergy or choir being in a robe. And we feel that's the most important aspect, is to keep that look and that outward appearance, that truly if what's in your heart is, you know, radiates to what you look like, you will be prepared and have a robe on. And I find that there's a lot of people who receive robes that appreciate getting a used robe, a robe that a minister may have worn that they feel may have some spiritual awareness that has been, you know, enveloped in the robe through other people being, you know, preaching in them or being in the Spirit of God or, you know, being transcended into church communities, that they feel, I almost appreciate this more than I do a brand new one.
Sure.
And then it can lead to people who graduate out of those robes and say, well, okay, I'm ready for a new one now, and this used one has serviced me very well, and I want to now redonate this that someone else can receive it and be blessed by it.
So I was wondering if the donations that you receive and where the donations are going are kind of restricted to particular faith traditions, or if you're seeing a broader need for these services.
Well, Don, thanks for asking. Interesting enough, we've not mentioned there. No one rarely asks what tradition or denomination or faith group either we are ourselves or where these donated items are going. It has been very ecumenical in the response that we've received. I mean, I've gotten a lot of Presbyterian, Lutheran, Baptist. I've even gotten Catholic groups who have made donations and just basically want to be able to share what they have towards a common goal. And it has just been tremendous in the walls that have been broken down. And sometimes we create those within our own denominations or church sectors. But we found through this effort here, it's been very broad and very well received with many different faith groups and many different Christian people throughout the United States and abroad, that there's been no mention that we are of this faith and we'd like to see it go to that faith. And, you know, no one ever asked. They just said, how can we help? How can we send what we have to be shared with others? So we're very, you know, proud of that, and think that that's an important part of our ministry and what we're trying to accomplish, that people are willing to give no matter what, where they come from, or this, that they believe in God and want to, better mankind.
You've talked about how you distribute robes both within the U.S. and internationally. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe share with us a little bit about the international, how that works, and where those are going?
Well, we have churches in Africa, India, and Canada that certainly fit the same sort of measured need for robes that are spiritual in nature, that, you know, worship in church communities. And generally, it has worked word of mouth, is how most people. I get emails from everywhere internationally. I've even gotten donations sent to me from Great Britain, that they've paid the expense to send donations of used liturgical ware to be redistributed. So, to ask me, do we make any intentional efforts to market or to go after groups that may be in need or groups that may lend a donation? As of yet, in our last 4 years that we've been in existence, we've not yet. It's just rapidly grown through word of mouth and people hearing about us. And if you Google robe donation or clergy robes, we come up automatically because there is no one else doing it. So it's given us a front row seat to people that not only find themselves in donation wanting to donate, but people that want to transition. You know, people that have passed away. I get pastors that their families want to put their robes to good use. The father or the mother or whoever may have been clergy has passed on, and they want to donate those robes so that someone else can appreciate and use them.
Okay, very good. What are your current needs? I mean, you're a nonprofit, so most nonprofits always have needs.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder where your needs are right now as an organization.
Well, we have tried to remain more grassroots in getting donations, monetary donations, to help us not only in the refurbishing areas that we do to the robes and donations we receive, but also more so for the postage to mail these to the various people who request them. We do, if possible, ask the donors or the recipients if they could assist us in donations for postage. And some do, and some, if not able to, we don't require it. We give donations at no cost, no direct cost. If a person is able to help pay to get it to them, we appreciate that. And other than that, our support lies just on people who believe that what we're doing is a good effort, a good cause, and they make monetary donations to assist us in doing that. So our needs are obviously continued donations of used and unused robes. People who are spiritually minded that feel that since we are an effort to help the spiritual community, want to make a monetary donation, which of course is tax deductible. We're a registered 501c3 organization with the IRS, so we are able to give tax receipts for a monetary donation. And we get volunteer help to help us process, to help us move things from location to other locations, to help us get things shipped out. We're growing. We hope at one time, in the future, we can get a facility that can kind of contain our operations in whole. We're a little scattered with some storage over here, some storage over there. Wherever we can find an open area to kind of help process or get things in and out, we use. And some of it is donated. Some of us is assisted space where people aren't using a room or an open area, and they allow us to come in and do some things to help facilitate getting these robes moved. So I don't have any specific list to say I need A, B, C, and D. We just need people to be supportive, to take a look at what we're doing.
And I would imagine one of the more unique volunteer positions you have is people who actually have the skill set to repair robes and to make them, restore them. Is that a...
Absolutely. Absolutely. We currently use a robe company out of Philadelphia, of which I used to work for on the retail side, to assist me in getting the repairs done. Probably more extensive repairs because I do have to send them to Philadelphia to get them repaired. Mm-hmm. Minor repairs I will take locally to various tailors who can, you know, sew and be able to provide some repairs that, aren't as major. We are looking to develop an in-house training program that will not only aid us in being able to make the repairs, but will be able to teach the skills of becoming a tailor and a qualified seamstress or someone that can not only repair and but also make robes or other types of garments. And that would be a program that we would hope would aid people in getting job skills and enable them to go out either on their own or with other entities and become gainfully employed.
Right.
So that that's one of our vision items for the future, that we can develop that type of in-house program, but it's something that we're working on.
Well, good. Do you have any other plans for the future, projects or directions you see the organization going? I mean, you mentioned earlier that you get all kinds of donations.
We do.
But again, that takes time, money, and whatever to process. So I'm wondering what your if you have a future direction you're going in.
I think the direction is to become more of a, for you, lack of better words, a kind of a clearinghouse for spiritual goods, for Christian items, whether they be of apparel items or items, as I've said, you know, we sometimes we'll get churches say, we got a bunch of Bibles, we got a bunch of hymnals, we have other items that we either don't use or have a plentiful supply of. Well, I'm certain that somewhere in the United States, someone could use them. Someone would be happy to get them. And even when we got out of Chambersburg, the church that wanted to donate some pews, somebody somewhere could use those pews. So it's just a matter of being able to connect with those people. And if we become more of a kind of a clearinghouse, whether it be via bulletin board or people that are searching for various things that they need. You know, churches are a community that will always need some assistance. They're always going to need some help, some support from the community and outside businesses and entities to continue to grow and do their ministries. So if we can assist, we get in some cases youth groups or younger people that want to do liturgical dances and want to do some youth movements, and they require some items or materials or things that would be helpful in them growing their ministry. So if we can eventually develop, now we're not trying to be the biggest or some big corporate giant, but we're just trying to be in service,
right.
You know, in service. And I look at it at this stage as more of a kind of a legacy sort of building moment for myself.
Sure.
That while I might not see the height of what we're able to accomplish, who knows? I mean, in the next generation or two, they may somewhere in the corner have a picture of me hanging up and say, oh, yeah, that's that guy that started this whole thing. So it's just something that I feel is giving to the community that is in need.
Okay.
And it's a spiritual gift.
Well, thank you. We've been speaking today with Michael McMullen, a Master of Divinity student at United Lutheran Seminary and the director of Robe Gifting International. If you would like to learn more about their work, please click on the link to their website that will be in our podcast description. Thank you for joining us today, Michael.
Oh, I thank you. I appreciate you taking the opportunity. I'm blessed by those that certainly see what we're doing as a benefit and a blessing to others, and I just hope that it continues to grow and that others will find other ways to continue to be in service.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.